The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey guys, everyone, welcome. If you're looking at the screen and going, wait, what day is today? What's going on here? We got an update for you. But first, welcome to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. My name is Matt Connor. I am a somewhat normal host around here, except on Tuesdays, but now it's Thursdays. We had some changes in the past with Matt Verderam, who's still a friend of the show, but is now with Sports Illustrated. Patrick Allen is somewhere sipping Mai Tais, or
it was out of a coconut. That's all I got, Matt.
Yeah, I don't know. He's lying on a beach somewhere, having a good time, avoiding all the crazy schedule leaks and whatever's going on. And I said, hey, if I'm doing this show and I get to pick, I want to have on a couple of our writers from arrowheadaddict.com. So I'd like to welcome, it's fun to hang out like here on the show. First, we have Jacob Millam and Charles me. Robinson, both you've read their work if you've read much at all at Arrowhead Addict. They're both great writers. I love having them as part of our team. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. It is Thursday. I'm looking forward to the weekend. It is Friday Eve, as they say. I am jealous of Patrick. I ain't gonna lie, man. That is that looks super relaxing.
You need a beachside drink? Is that what you're saying?
And I'm like right down the road from Virginia Beach, so I can go do it. But man, there's too many tourists like Patrick Allen down there right now. So I'm gonna avoid all that.
Yeah, you can't have those tourists mucking up your beautiful part of the country there. I'm feeling awfully skeptical today. I don't know what to believe and what not to believe as far as the accuracy of these schedule leaks going around. So maybe I'm a little like paranoid. Maybe I'm just kind of losing faith in the accuracy of information that's on Twitter, because typically everything you read on Twitter is correct. So I don't even know what to believe today.
Dude, I'm with you. I solved all my health woes by looking on there. Marital advice, presidential choices, the whole bit.
Yeah, I'm learning how to parent strictly off of Twitter advice. So,
I love it. So, obviously, today is a big deal. It might sound weird. Mid-May on a Thursday is somehow a big deal in the NFL, which, by the way, can we talk about this just for a second, right? The NFL hasn't played a game for 4 months, not going to play a game for 4 months that matters at all. And somehow, in the middle of baseball going strong, basketball playoffs, NHL, I don't know, a puck is doing something, I'm sure, these days. whatever's going on there, somehow all we're talking about is the draft, then the post-draft, then grades, and then now we're talking more NFL stuff. We're talking about like a database, basically, a glorified database revealed of what's happening 4 months from now. And we've all been glued to Twitter all day wondering, we already knew the who. We already knew the who. And we're still just going, well, how about when and where and what time? I find this crazy, but also the NFL is king at doing what they do.
Yeah, Matt, it's just the NFL has an absolute stranglehold on the fan base, on like all the media. Like I know that's a little hypocritical. We're talking about it, but you go on to your TV guide and it's like three different channels having different stuff just about the official schedule reveal. And it's everywhere. Like you said, this doesn't change who they're playing. It's just like what channel and at what time. That's really all it boils down to. And then just think about all the months of talking that we're going to do about this. It's like, oh, well, is this mystery suspension going to affect the week four matchup again, just like it did last week or last year? Excuse me. Charles, how are you feeling about it, man?
The NFL is the most powerful drug in the United States, at least. It's an absolute, I don't know. They've got everyone in a stranglehold, and myself included, I'm sure you guys as well. Like, it's almost like your behaviors change is naturally. It's like, you know, if I check my phone to see an email or to see if someone has texted me, I've thrown that out the window today because I'm just looking at Twitter every single time I pick up my phone to see, like, okay, what else is leaked here? And I'm sure hundreds of thousands of football fans across the country are doing the exact same thing today. So,
wait, is this why you ignored my text? Is that what this is?
Exactly. I was like, I'll get to him at 4 o'clock. It'll be fine. Like, we'll talk before the show. You know,
Charles, when you said you were throwing that out the window, I thought you meant your phone for a second. Just like, yeah, all I imagined was you frisbeeing your phone.
Just I thought about it, but yeah, no, I've maintained possession of my phone today. It's safe.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So Jacob brought this up earlier. I wanted to ask this because the NFL is hosting a party tonight called the schedule reveal, like a gender reveal. I don't know if like maybe Adam Schefter is going to like open a cupcake and it's going to have the color of the team.
Oh my God.
Maybe there's going to be like a glitter bomb that goes off over Scott Hansen and they'll be like, it's a home game. You know, whatever. I don't know what it is, but however they're going to do it, it's 3 hours. And you would think, okay, for all the pomp and pageantry, you want all the viewers to be tuned in, anxious to answer all these questions of what we're saying, the who, what, when, and where. And instead, like I'm looking at Twitter, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and it's like some egg on Twitter whose handle is like, schedule my homies, then says like, I got all the stuff here. Or, you know, it's like, you know, Veach Lover 284. And then it says, oh, here's when the Bears are playing the Chiefs. And you're like, you don't know anything. Didn't you predict that like Jeremy Maclin was going to return this year or something? Like, you don't know what you're saying.
Something about Dwayne Bowe.
The Chiefs are going to sign T.O. I think he's going to come out of retirement.
Right? Right? Oh, yeah.
But then some of these same people end up somehow right. And we're going like, okay, is this a broken clock thing? Did you just make a – or is there like really a burner? Like, is there some guy in Arrowhead going – I'll make a burner and make, I don't know. What do you think of all, like, just, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it almost gives you trust issues with, with what to believe and what not to believe. I know last year there was an account like NFL schedule leaks that had like the NFL shield as its profile picture on Twitter. And the guy gained like 10,000 plus followers in 3 days. And then whenever all of his leaks weren't correct, he's like, LOL, you guys are idiots. Like, no wonder you think the election was rigged. Like, Americans will believe anything. Like, I guess so. I mean, you know, if you start tweeting enough believable stuff, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, that's he's got to be right.
And how many folks out there are paying for that blue little check mark? And they're going to fool thousands of people just with like, this is the official thing. Yeah. Hey, you know what? If you can afford it, power to you. I'm a little too cheap for that, man.
It's like at a darn Schefter.
Yeah.
And the R and the N go together to look like an M. And you're like, he said Mahomes is getting traded. No way. You know, and then the whole whatever. It's craziness.
Well, crazy. Matt, you sourced a guy earlier, Ian Napaport. You know, just
I had to lay out Patrick's schedule for him. And then he said, who told you that? So Ian Napaport was the best pun I could come up with there. But
I mean, Napsheet always has the breaking news.
You better believe it.
It was either that or Adam Schefter. But
that's a good one.
Yeah, I know. So obviously we want to talk about the schedule, what we know. And I want to break this down with you guys, get some good insight, talk about that. But before we do, our friends at DraftKings actually have a great opportunity. Look, if you guys are into what we do here, and so many of you out there have been great listeners, great supporters of the podcast, or even like members of Arrowhead Addict, which is also an option. You know, you guys have helped us in so many ways. But one other way you can, and if you want now that the schedule's out or coming out, there's going to be so many more things you can bet on. Just want to say, if you're living in Kansas, we've got an awesome limited time promo for new DraftKings users. Make a deposit, place a $5 wager on any sport at all, and you get $150 instantly added to your account in bonus bets. Win or lose, all you have to do is use our code Arrowhead to sign up and redeem them. So again, use the code Arrowhead, place that first bet, $5 on a new account, new bet, get you $150 in bonus bets. New customers only, 21 and over, physically present in Kansas. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Valid one offer per customer, minimum $5 deposit and $5 wager required. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets and expires 7 days after being awarded. See full terms at DraftKings.com. Thanks to DraftKings. And any of you, if you're going to bet responsibly, and you might as well help out some friends while we do it. Well, let's dive in here. Look, let's dive in right from the top, because one of the earliest reports that came out that we could confirm that the Chiefs were behind the whole thing was week one. And we've all wondered for some time, who's it going to be? Who's going to be the big matchup to start the year? And then came the word that it was the Detroit Lions. And it feels like before you could even get to the second syllable of the first name in that, Detroit, everyone was already asleep going, you know, like where I read one take that just said, this matchup has zero juice. And I loved that phrase because I thought, that's kind of right. It also feels unfair to what Detroit did last year once you take a look. But I wonder for you guys, is this a zero juice matchup?
For me, it is. The only juice in it is the fact that what I think it was the last time that Mahomes and Goff matched up. It was one of the best primetime games ever in history. But that was under, you know, Sean McVay's offense. That was like 5 years ago now, at the very least, like completely different set of circumstances. And I know fellow writer Lucas, you know, he's loving it because he's up there in Detroit. So he is, he writes about the Chiefs, but he is ready to see this matchup. Yep. There you go. Right there.
The roar has been restored. Is that really what, do they yell that like all in unison?
That's too much.
That's a little lengthy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when like my 9-year-old son, when he's like singing and everyone is like in the choirs, like going like one line, they're all like saying random things. And then there's that one guy at the end who's like says it for way too long, like he got in late. Anyway, Charles, what do you think of the Detroit there?
It has the opportunity to have some fireworks because, you know, Detroit's offense started kind of clicking on all cylinders all year long, really. I mean, they put up points in their defense. I mean, it'll be a decent barometer for this kind of new look Chiefs offense because obviously they added a couple pieces in the secondary in the offseason. Detroit did with CJ Gardner-Johnson and a couple other guys in the secondary, but that defense was pretty bad last year. And it, you know, if trends kind of hold steady, then you should see a lot of points in that matchup, which everybody likes to see. But who knows? I mean, early in the year, you never really know if offenses are going to be on on pace yet, if the defenses are going to be picking up or gelling together yet. So I personally would have loved to have seen, you know, Buffalo, or maybe I knew they wouldn't do the Super Bowl rematch in week one. They want to save that for a different slot, but I thought it was going to be the Bills. I think that would have been a more sexy matchup to start the season, but I think the Lions could still be a decent game. Hopefully a Chiefs win, but you know, we'll see. It all, there's a lot of time between now and then. So, you know, there could be, you know, injuries happen. They could sign different players. It's not the sexiest matchup they could have picked, but it's still football. I mean, we're still talking about it today in May. So
yeah, it is football. And so earlier I said, you know, does it have the juice or not? And I think a lot of people are kind of yawning at the matchup compared to what it could have been. I think that's what it is. It's not so much like anti-Detroit. I think people respect what's happening in Detroit. You know, they went from 3 wins in Dan Campbell's first year to a 9-8 record last year, right? So you've got the winning record there. A six game improvement is nothing to sneeze at. Then you said they signed Gardner Johnson, they signed Cam Sutton, so the secondary certainly looks a lot better. They just added, 2 players on both sides of the ball in the draft, including like Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta on offense. I think there are a lot of impressive pieces. Plus, not to mention, Aiden Hutchinson in his second year there's going to be a reckoning there on a level that wasn't there last year. So all that to say, you know, I don't want to disrespect them. They won 8 of their last 10 games, maybe the hottest NFC team down the stretch, maybe. So when you are that red hot, there's a lot of good going on. But one of you mentioned earlier, week one is wonky. I mean, they should just call it wonky one or something, because we've seen either opponents or the Chiefs lay an egg before. And you're like, what's going on? And it just feels like out of the gate, some horses just randomly stumble at times. So who do you think benefits most from this being the matchup from the outset?
I think the Chiefs for sure. I mean, they've added a couple pieces in the secondary, but I mean, with Hutchinson up front, yeah, that's going to be a challenge with new tackles for the Chiefs. But, you know, that front 7 of Detroit, I mean, if KC wants to kind of lock in and figure out how they're going to, you know, run first and then play the passing game off the run, that's a pretty good team to start against. So I would say the Chiefs to get, you know, a decent start on offense and find some rhythm, that's a pretty good matchup for them.
For sure, for sure. And this receiving core is going to need time to kind of gel, and we want to see that on game day. You know, we can hear all about it in training camp and during the summer, but once, you know, game day is a whole different beast. I'm actually going to go more towards our defensive secondary right now. It's still pretty young. Like, this is the second week one for a lot of these players, and that's not to be underestimated. And they added more pieces, or there's going to be more second-year players expected to step up for this defense. So, you know, Jared Goff and that receiving core, it's not bad. I wouldn't call it like a top 10 unit or a top 10 passing game, excuse me, but it's at least around average. So I think this is a good barometer game, like you said, Matt. So I am looking forward to it. I just don't see a true challenge here for Kansas City personally.
I want to get some of the user comments here. Steve Cashman says, the NFL knows the ratings will be huge regardless of opponent. They were protecting other days like New Year's Eve, for example. Totally agree. Every game with the Chiefs is going to be must-watch TV. Stacey Smith, one of our own contributors there as well at AA, by the way, give you a shout, says the Lions will be the biggest beneficiary. Campbell gets to use this game as a measuring stick for an improving team. That's a great point. Like if you're Campbell, you're thinking long-term. This isn't about, I mean, of course they'd like to win this game, but even if they come in and play tough at Arrowhead, you're going to say, hey, look, we won 8 of our last 10. We're starting out this year against the defending champs, and we punched them in the mouth. Like that could be a big momentum to get these young guys to believe in this franchise that's probably been a laughing stock since most of them have been born. So I think that's huge. Sean says Detroit is on the rise and anyone can be anyone on any given day. So I never feel comfortable until the game is over. However, I am glad to get a non-prime matchup. KC gets so many, they need a buffer. And then finally, Marmar says, a perfect matchup in my eye. Lions are definitely on the rise, and the Chiefs, nice pace for the newcomers. I agree. It'll be interesting. But there are bigger games, bigger matchups. We'll get to these in just a second. Let's move on. One other thing, a solid report came out about week two, actually, as we're kind of moving through here. And that says that after the Chiefs have a little bit like a mini bye coming off the game there, that they'll also have the chance to go visit the Jacksonville Jaguars in week two. Like, what do we think of that? What do you think of that coming off the first game? Do you guys have any big thoughts on the Jags in week two?
Man, I love this in week two personally, especially after 10 games between the week one game and this matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Honestly, it was a good game last time that they met up in the playoffs. I know that was a higher leverage situation, if you will. But I think that the Jaguars are like a sexy dark horse pick out of the AFC. So I don't know. I'm going to go into the season, you know, expecting an undefeated season from the Chiefs, right? But I don't know. I like the Jaguars this early in the season, at least. What about you, Charles?
I think it's a you know, we talked about the Chiefs being a good barometer for the Lions in week one. The Jags are a pretty good barometer for the Chiefs in week two. I mean, you know, you go down to Jacksonville, play at their place, which, you know, some years when they're terrible, it's not much of a factor. But, I mean, they're good right now. And, you know, and Trevor Lawrence is, you know, one of the ascending young quarterbacks in the NFL. And if we can go down there and take care of business when you figure it's going to be early September and probably, you know, 95 degrees and muggy in Jacksonville, it's going to show a lot for us, like what kind of shape are we in, and you know, what kind of team do we have against a playoff team that kind of pushed us to the brink last year in the divisional round, albeit with, you know, Mahomes on one leg. But, you know, I think it'll be a good early barometer for the Chiefs to see where they're at as a team as well.
What do you think we're going to see? You know, earlier Stacey in the comments mentioned Detroit as a barometer, the Chiefs as a barometer for Detroit overall. But I'm thinking the same thing, you know, the difference in watching Trevor Lawrence year one to year two, how he performs against the Chiefs in year three, that's going to be a barometer for him. I think people are going to be watching, like, is he going to enter the conversation of the game's great quarterbacks? That game could do it. If he pulls off I don't even think it has to be game winning heroics. If he pulls off competitive down to the wire heroics, we may start to hear Trevor's name alongside Josh, Joe, Patrick, Justin.
Yeah, for sure. I will. But there's someone else that we're not considering. That's Calvin Ridley. I mean, they traded for him a year ago. And man, Trevor, I know they invested in Christian Kirk. I'm not a Kirk believer personally. I definitely think Ridley is the better player. Yeah. But man, that receiving core is going to be something that tests this Kansas City defense.
Adding Calvin Ridley to that offense is going to be, that's a nice little dose of spice there for the Jags. So, you know, it's going to be a different team than what we faced in the playoffs last year, for sure.
Yeah.
But we will be too. So,
by the way, when they pulled off that trade for Ridley, like, I was secretly hoping that was a KC kind of, like,
yeah.
I loved that move. And I know it's not without risk. I know he's been away from the game. I know that if there's like mental ill, I know that there are risks and it may not work out like Jacksonville hopes, but the upside play there is
huge.
Ridley was, it was tremendous when he was on in Atlanta. So yeah, I just thought that was such a savvy move by Jacksonville.
Yeah, for sure. And that is going to be the thing. I think Ridley is going to be the thing that propels Lawrence, you know, past that middling tier of quarterbacks into like the top 10 overall in the league. Me personally.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, by the way, we didn't mention, you know, there was a guy chosen before Aiden Hutchinson. Well, you know, will Trayvon Walker even look the part in his second, you know, that'll be interesting to see too.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I love that they're going down to Jacksonville. Like, that'll be kind of a, I don't know. It's the end of summer. Could be a little bit of a destination game for Chiefs fans, maybe. I don't know.
I'll bet we travel though well there, don't you think?
I would say so.
Don't they have like a place to watch from a pool? Can't you get in a pool?
Yeah, they got a pool in the stadium. I don't know that I would get into it just after like seeing some of the people that have been in it in the past, but I'm sure the chlorine is strong in Florida, so it should be fine.
I mean, either like I trust the chlorine in one pool or the bubbles in another pool. Like that just means all the germs go away, right? Like in a hot tub.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Man. Oh, Matt. Oh, no. Charles, we have to tell him.
If I'm wrong, don't let me find out right.
Okay. We can talk about that one off air. Yeah.
Let's have that conversation later.
I didn't go to health class, so I don't know how that works. So, Charles, let me start with you on this one. Week 4, New York Jets. Looks like we're getting a primetime matchup. Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure these days if he spells it A-A-R-O-N or E-R-R-I-N, as in Aaron. Sorry, that's a bad pun. Anyway, what do you make of it? I mean, we've wanted to see this matchup. What do you think of this matchup?
Finally get to see Mahomes versus Rodgers. I think that I tweeted right after the Rodgers official trade that, you know, which they danced for what, like 4 or 5 weeks before the actual trade went down. But, you know, I still think the AFC East is Buffalo's to lose, but the Jets are going to be very interesting and very spunky this year. I mean, you get a guy like Rodgers and, you know, I know they've got, you know, Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. And then they just drafted a running back from Pitt, who is an animal as well. So, I mean, that offense is going to be, you know, it's going to be good, but to me, and maybe this is just old habits die hard or whatever, but I still think it's the Jets. And I think that, you know, the Chiefs will probably take care of business pretty easily against the Jets, but who knows? I mean, they could be a real serious contender this year, and it could be a great matchup. But also, did Rodgers really blow anybody away last year in Green Bay? I know he had a little bit of a lackluster crew around him, but it was guys that he handpicked, like Randall Cobb, and he brought those same guys with him to the Jets. So you complain about your weapons in one place, but to go to the other place, you're like, hey, sign all my buddies. Like, I don't really get how that works. I don't understand. I've never been on a darkness retreat, so I don't know how Aaron Rodgers' brain works, nor have I ingested ayahuasca. So maybe I need to open up my soul and kind of experience life in a little deeper way so I can get where he's coming from. But he just wasn't that remarkable last year. And I feel like if you stack the Packers roster up last year against the Jets roster this year, and I haven't done this, so I don't know the answer, but would you find a heck of a lot of difference in that? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. They could be good or it could be very average. I don't know. I look forward to seeing those two quarterbacks square off, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Wilson as a game-changing wide receiver, that's a big deal there.
Yeah, certainly.
Don't forget, though, wasn't it last year that the Packers held the Chiefs to, like, minimal output? And was that 2 years ago?
Two years ago.
When Jordan Love. Yeah. And you're scratching your head going, how did we barely win that game?
Yeah. But that was like a four-game stretch, though, where Mahomes was just kind of –
It was weird.
Was not himself. Like, he was very, very, like, skittish in the pocket, was kind of like trying to run around a little bit too much before he really kind of settled in after. I think they played the Cowboys the week after that at home.
Yeah.
He really kind of settled in after that, but
they barely beat the Giants, and they were like,
yeah, I remember that.
Two or three win team. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were 3-4. They had just gotten blasted by the Titans. They were 3-4 at that point in the year before the Giants game. And then they played the Packers right after that, I think. So it was that was a weird start.
Yeah, I hope
we don't
need
one of those this year.
Please, no.
How much of I know we're down on Rodgers, and then if you see the down season, and then you think, oh, a 40-year-old, like, you could do that math pretty quickly. And and that's good math to do. However, he also won MVP 2 years before that. I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, he got lucky and had one good year. It was like, oh no, he marched up to Mahomes and was like, you're not the dominant quarterback yet. I am. And then for 2 years, he like took the baton back. And then now he's got something to prove. And so you could do some math there too. If you had to bet right now, which version of Rodgers are we going to see?
I think we're going to see a version of Rodgers who looks like a 40-year-old quarterback. Okay. Personally, he's removed from those MVP seasons, and there has been a noticeable, just the eye test and the stats, there's been a noticeable decline. I don't care about his supporting cast. Honestly, we've trust me, we all know how those debates go with when we're talking about MVP quarterbacks. I think he is going to look like a above average quarterback. Yes, but I don't think he's going to look like two-time MVP Aaron Rodgers will. So I definitely think that this matchup is going to be like a what if they faced 2 years ago? What if they faced off 3 years ago or something like that? But I don't know. I'm very down on Aaron Rodgers right now.
Well, yeah, it's like, what Aaron Rodgers are you going to get? Are you going to get the Aaron Rodgers that is, you know, a competitor and a super driven guy who wins back-to-back MVPs? Are you going to get the guy that is kind of like lackadaisical and complacent about the game of football? Because what really is football? Like, you know, it's like it's like that Jim Carrey skit on SNL a couple of years back, whenever, like, from the Matthew McConaughey Lincoln commercials, where he's like, we're just bugs on a rock in a void. Like, I feel like that's how Aaron Rodgers looks at the world now. Like, what's football, man? It doesn't matter, you know?
Well, so there's no more soulful place to ponder those things than New York, right? Well, like, man, that's, yeah, exactly, the best place to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's for either sure gonna, he may shrivel up and die, or
he might,
or rise to some occasion, and we're all like completely shocked. Bart Young says Rodgers has much more talent at wideout than he had in Green Bay last year, and Breece Hall is explosive. Expect him to have a good year. Ronald Rodrigo says, I expect more out of Rodgers this year than last year, at least a decent version when we play them in week four. Yeah, it'll be interesting. If the Jets are not good and they fade down the stretch, you're going to see probably a different version of Rodgers that becomes dispirited. But at least when the Chiefs play them, it should be a hopeful, competitive Rodgers, if he can summon that up, despite Jacob's great doubts.
Immense doubts.
let's switch gears here. Minnesota Vikings. This one for me, man, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, they won a lot of games last year. Barely. Mm-hmm. That point differential does not equal that record. Yet at the same time, they've got talent in key places. We're looking at week five here, according to reports that seem quite trustable, if you will. Sunday afternoon game. Jacob, you want to take the, do you have thoughts on the Vikings as a contending opponent, or do you think it's going to be like not a big deal?
No, I think they'll be a contending opponent, but it'll still end up being a 1 or 2 matchup game. Like, this is either going to be Justin Jefferson takes over the game and wins for the Vikings, or it's going to be a thorough trouncing from the Chiefs. If you look at on paper and with the coaching, these position groups side by side, the Chiefs have the edge in so many of them, in my opinion. And I think they have head and shoulders the better coaching staff, not just head coach. So I know they can't do it, but I'm kind of looking past this game. But Charles, what do you think, man?
I agree almost completely with you on that. I think if we let Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase us, then there's going to be some problems, and, you know, they're good enough to stay in it until the end and do something late and sneak a win out. But I it's going to be interesting to see how we match up specifically with Justin Jefferson and how Spags kind of schemes him up, because they have one weapon that can kill you and the rest are, you know, okay. It is kind of scary that if we had this game in primetime, I would say Chiefs 42, Vikings 7, because primetime Kirk Cousins is a joke and a real thing, but you know, 325, we'll see what kind of Kirk Cousins we get. I don't, as long as the Chiefs are locked in, they should win that game. The only thing that could really, to me right now, that could blow that would be Jefferson going absolutely bananas on the Chiefs defense, which has happened to good teams. So
like
we'll
a Jamar
see.
Chase, like a Jamar Chase kind of game where we just can't do anything about it. Yeah.
Right. Well, he's playing out of his mind too. I mean, you know,
it happens. It just does.
I was looking at some rankings of pass rushers, and I was a little surprised that someone from Pro Football Focus was listing this, like, the best batch of, like, ranking them all. Mm-hmm. And Minnesota was number one. Za'Darius Smith, Daniel Hunter. They add Marcus Davenport to that mix. They've got some guys on the interior who can also disrupt. I'm looking at that. Whether or not I agree with that exact placement, it occurs to me that this could be a really good test of what do the Chiefs have now in Juwan Taylor and Donovan Smith? How are they going to hold up? because if they have that kind of pass rush, that's going to be what we see on a weekly basis in the postseason, are those kinds of high pressure, got to be able to handle it matchups. That's going to be something to watch in this game, is how well they are able to disrupt what Matt Nagy now and that offense wants to do.
Yeah.
So, could be something to watch there. But
could.
Any other thoughts on Vikings or we feel like
I will. So I'm going to go back to Charles on this. So do you, Charles, just curious, do you feel like a 3:25 start is prime time or not? Because some, me personally out here on the East Coast, I do prefer that over like the later Sunday night starts. But me, that's just me.
I call them a sweet spot game because I think they're the best games as a fan to watch, because the noon is a little bit, it's a little bit wonky because, you know, you've got stuff going on Sunday mornings you got to take care of. I mean, now that I have a child, I'm sure it's going to be on steroids compared to what it used to be. The late games I hate waiting around all day for, but that 3:25 start is just, that's
perfect.
Chef's kiss. I love 3:25 starts.
Man.
What about you, Matt?
I'll say this. I love this iteration of the Chiefs and success, but I miss when the Chiefs sucked and every day was just like a predictable, like I missed the schedule of when they sucked because it was like, hey, it's 17 games of Sunday, either one, like, you know, either the 1 or 4 o'clock Eastern slots.
Yeah.
And then you're done. Like we don't have prime time. I don't have to worry about whatever. I can like come home, eat a big meal, fall asleep watching my favorite team lose because they lost all the time in those days. And then that was it. And then now it's like, okay, wait, are they playing on Thursday, Wednesday? Are they playing after my mom's sewing club? What's going on? I don't know. It's just, like, it's craziness. It's like, Charles, when you have a kid and they grow up and then suddenly you're like, I don't know. Like, what is tonight? Oh, it's karate followed by the music program followed by soccer practice. That's what the Chiefs are doing to us right now. It's like Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday, you know. We even have a Sunday morning game, you guys.
I know.
A Sunday morning game.
8:30 in the morning.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, just want to say shout out. If you guys are out there listening, any of you, if you're watching on YouTube right now, give us a thumbs up. Hit the subscribe button. Those things make a great difference. Leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. If you're listening on your favorite podcast app, whatever it is, give us a shout and a review there. As always, those things, they go a long way in the metrics. I'd explain it to you, but I can't because I don't know what those algorithms are. But I have a friend named Alan GoRhythm, and his name is Al GoRhythm, and he told me that these things matter. So listen to my friend Alan. And that was the worst pun ever. I'm sorry. Anyway, back to the schedule. Week 9. Here we go. We are Miami Dolphins, early November, in Frankfurt, Germany. In Frankfurt, Germany. What do you think of this whole matchup at midseason?
It is a little bitter. It's a little bittersweet that Tyreek Hill is not coming back to Arrowhead.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I think that I've looked at this. I think I wrote about this earlier in the offseason about the Germany game. Like, this is such a huge opportunity for the Chiefs to be able to go over there and kind of, you know, build out not just their brand, the NFL's brand, but some of these individual players too. I mean, you look at some of the biggest stars in the history of basketball in particular, right? Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, all those guys are huge because they have obviously a huge following here in the States, but where, you know, millionaires become billionaires in the sports world is when they have brands overseas. You can have huge fan bases in Europe, have huge fan bases in Asia. And this is such a huge opportunity for, you know, for Europe to see firsthand Mahomes and the Chiefs. I think Mahomes benefits from this more than anybody because he's obviously got his brand here. He's kind of building that Jordan, LeBron, Kobe-esque like mystique about him in the NFL. And to take that to Europe is huge. The matchup itself kind of scares me because they got a hell of a lot of speed on offense. And that, if there's like we talked about Justin Jefferson, we talked about the Jags' weapons. The Dolphins have weapons with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. So young secondary, midseason, hopefully they're settled in. But man, those guys can burn, and that could be. It depends on how Tua's playing and how healthy he is. But God, those receivers scare me. I don't like seeing Tyreek on the other side of the field.
No. Jalen Waddle is like very impressive. He's getting overshadowed by Tyreek, as he should. But yeah, that's it. Jacob, what's your take on the game?
You know what? It's great that they are sending a good matchup overseas. I saw that, and my second reaction was, does this feel a little political by the NFL? Because you don't want to take Tyreek Hill, who has his own great following and is, you know, one of the bigger wide receiver personalities in recent history now. You know, they don't want the optics of him getting absolutely booed out of the stadium in Kansas City after, you know, how he has handled this departure from Kansas City. So, you know what, you send him over in front of a neutral crowd, you send him over to Frankfurt, get all the good PR of them going around Germany and doing all the things they can do. But I'm with Charles, the wide receivers do really scare me. I will be watching how the defense does in the first half of the season, the Miami defense, that is, because I don't see a whole lot of teeth on that unit right now. And you know, at the end of the day, the Kansas City Chiefs defense might keep them in games, but the offense wins the games for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So if they could take advantage of a fumbling defense, then I think this is going to be a good performance overseas from the Chiefs.
Man, I think it's an opportunity lost, a big opportunity lost. I'm not sure that Tyreek gets booed out of Arrowhead. Do you think he get really? I mean, I know there are some fans who are like, I hate him, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I would hope that a good amount, maybe even the majority of fans, could go, hey, that guy like almost set every franchise record like in a minimal amount of time. Like
that's true. But and there is an optic to, like, you know, the most vocal fans don't necessarily mean the most fans.
Sure.
But what I'm hearing, what I'm reading is this group of fans that are like, hey, now he doesn't even belong in the Ring of Honor because, you know, he wasn't here long enough, or just all these arguments against his overall legacy. I think that, and especially if he goes out in 2023 and doesn't light it up like he did last year, if he stumbles at all and is not like a top three wide receiver, I think Chiefs fans would jump on that. I'm not calling everyone classless or nothing, but I do think that there is some vim and vigor against Tyreek Hill right now.
Yeah, I think so. And sadly, I think the reaction to Tyreek coming back to Arrowhead would depend on what time the game was at Arrowhead. Because if you give everyone in the stadium from, you know, they say the parking lots are supposed to open like 4 hours before kickoff, but they always open early. If it's a primetime game and there's people in the parking lot boozing from, you know, 10 a.m. until a 7:20 kickoff, it could get ugly for Tyreek Hill in that scenario.
Sure. I could see that. You know, look, I think we'd all agree that Tyreek could use a PR person telling him, like, yo,
yeah,
there are some beautiful – well, look, I'll say this. Just the other day, 2 days ago, Sterling and I had Tim Grunhard on the podcast. And, you know, Tim played his whole life in Kansas City, now calls it home, been here 30 years, played 11 years for the franchise in a row, and now is living off of the credibility, the chips he earned by like just being a constant presence and a positive force in and for the community. And when a player leaves, there's still that chance to like enjoy that relationship with the fans, long-term credibility, whatever, except when you're like pulling a Tony G and then just saying all the wrong things. And you're just thinking, man, I don't think you realize what doors you shut, what future doors you shut by just not saying the diplomatic thing. You don't even like, you could like decline a comment, or you could not post that tweet, and it would actually save you business opportunities down the road, fan interaction down the road, you know, all those things that maybe could even help a player figure out what to do after the game's over. And here's Tyreek kind of sort of mucking all that up. You know, hate to say it, cause he's a singular talent. I think he's a Hall of Famer for sure. But, sad to see in that way.
For sure. And you know what? That's something that we might reflect on in 10 or 20 years down the line after he's off the field, because right now we're just judging him on the field. And you know what? Maybe he just wants to stay in the light, and it's hard in the off season, man. Right, Charles?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was kind of thinking to myself as we were talking through this, like, you know, typically time heals all wounds. So hopefully 10 to 20 years down the road, we still look back fondly and remember, you know, the 13 seconds against Buffalo, things like that. The punt return against the Raiders on Thursday night in his rookie year. Like, you know, the good times. Hopefully you don't remember him, you know, being an idiot after he was traded. But, you know, we'll see. Yeah. It just depends on how much more he says, really.
That's true.
Like, how much more do you pile on?
I mean, we'll find out that week. It'll be, you know, if it'll be interesting, because we will hear about it. Like, my prediction for that game is not about scores. It's about the fact that I'm going to, like, silence the word Tyreek in my Twitter mentions for that week. It's going to be what it is.
Everyone's going to be talking about that matchup.
Yeah.
Well, then they've got Tyreek and Jalen Ramsey now. So, I mean, that's like the, I mean, two of the most outspoken trash talkers in the league. So
yeah,
they'll probably give us some bulletin board material, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe they like will cancel each other out. Maybe it'll end up being zero. It's like a zero
interesting
times
theory.
I don't know how math works. What do I know?
Matt, can you draw this on the wall behind you, please? I have to see this math.
That's why this whole wall is blank right here. So I can write it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So let's move forward. Prime time matchup. Super Bowl rematch, week 11, Philadelphia Eagles, Monday Night Football. If you have the Chiefs going perfect record, then I already know what you think. But what do you think of Jalen Hurts? And I mean, this Eagles team only added, you know, draft pieces that they already had young pieces that were getting better. What do you think of this matchup?
I think it'll be a great matchup. I think it's going to be one of those games that will, you know, As the season progresses, some football fans will fall out if their team is struggling in the first half of the season. I think this is going to be a marquee matchup that brings a lot of those fans back to the sport in general. I think it'll be a very fun game. I am very worried about this game. I ain't gonna lie. It's in Arrowhead, which I think will be very, very fun. And there's going to be a lot leading up to it. Honestly, you got Donna Kelsey once again. You're going to have the narrative of, like, is this Jason Kelsey's last go? There's a lot of storylines even right now, and that's before the first snap of the season has even been taken. What do you think, Charles?
Yeah, I think the storylines are going to be, you know, plentiful for sure. But, you know, roster-wise, talent-wise, yeah, the Eagles look like they're going to be a world-beating team again. But not to be a hater, because they were a great team last year. They stormed through the NFC playoffs and could have easily won the Super Bowl against us. But, you know, let's see how the Chiefs have seen this year after year after year for the last 5, 6, 7 seasons. A first-place schedule is a hard thing to maneuver in the NFL.
Yeah.
And do the Eagles come out and play the third-place schedule last year, which doesn't necessarily mean that it was a cupcake schedule. I mean, they were 14-3. So – you won the games that were in front of you. That's what you have to do in the NFL, win each week, you know. But how do they react with a first-place schedule? And they have two brand-new coordinators on both sides of the ball. So see how those guys settle in. Let's see how, you know, without Shane Steichen, without who was there? Jonathan Gannon. Yeah, the Michael Scott of football coaches, apparently. Let's see how those guys settle in and what that offense and defense looks like under new leadership. Because realistically, you know, from a coaching standpoint, they're kind of still unproven, especially with two new coordinators. So I'll be interested to see how they start the season. That'll really kind of dictate what that matchup and what those storylines look like, because obviously you have the Kelce's and all that stuff. But you know, how are they going to look, and how does Jalen Hurts play now that he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league? What does that pressure look like on him compared to, you know, being a mid-round draft pick who is certainly outplaying his low expectations, but now that bar is high. So let's kind of see how those changes play out for them. And, you know, I don't know. I'm intrigued. They're going to be a very interesting team to watch all year, because they have a lot of, you know, very different things coming into this year as opposed to last year, where expectations were lower and they exceeded them. Now let's see how they all respond with the bar as high as it can get.
So Matt, are you going to call them the Philly Georgia Eagle Dogs, or are you going to call them the Georgia Delphia Bully Birds?
I don't know. Are we going to see Jalen Carter or Carter in jail? I'm not sure.
Ooh.
I'm not sure which one. What are we going to see there?
Oh man,
that's pretty good, by the way. Kudos.
We're going to do a hybrid of the Bulldogs and Eagles. Would that be a beagle?
I like it.
You like it? Not a very threatening mascot.
No,
no.
Beagles are cute though. Distractably cute. Distractably cute. That goes for most of us, I think, here too. Distractably cute.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, man.
I'll leave that up to Richard to put that tag on one of us. Anyway, I'll say this about that matchup. The trenches. The Eagles look absolutely stacked in the trenches. It's going to be a lot of fun to see some of the battles there again, like with the Chiefs' new tackles. With, like, you know, if you're talking about the second half of the season, I'm going to assume that Felix Anudike Uzomah is going to be like getting some good reps there. The Chiefs could be as deep or just about as the Eagles there, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But what's going to make a difference for me, and this is true of Eagles and other mobile quarterback matchups, we have Drew Tranquil now to go with Willie Gay, to go with Nick Bolton. This unit in the second level is so much more stacked than any time ever since Spags took over. And so some of these quarterbacks that have given us real issues by picking on the linebacker who can't cover or the linebacker who can't spy, we've now got multiple guys who can do multiple things. And that's going to shift that back on the quarterback to not know kind of where to go with the ball or what to do. I think that could make a huge difference in a matchup like this.
I agree. And to double down on what you were talking about, Matt, you know, we're going to see all this speed in the front line of the Chiefs defense. I mean, one of Keandre Coburn's best highlights from college was him chasing down college quarterbacks. Like, he has the speed. I know BJ Thompson might not be contributing by then, but boom, speed. Turk Wharton's going to be back. Mike Dana, you know, can he capitalize on a pretty strong 2022 season? Both of those guys have the raw speed. So I think, yeah, I mean, if they contain Jalen Hurts, this is a completely different matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love it.
Lucky for Chiefs fans, Anthony Hitchens and Ben Neiman are not walking through that door. Yeah. So it's a lot different feel.
Thank goodness.
I saw someone even said, like, hey, they should BJ Thompson has Hitchens' number now. And it was like, oh, they should, like, someone's like, hey, have him get rid of that number. And I didn't get it. I was like, what's wrong with 53? And then and then someone else said, oh, because Hitchens had that number. And I was like, oh man, we hate on old quarterbacks so much that we don't even want like a number associated, like, just the association is out the window, I guess.
Yep. Sometimes numbers should be retired in disgrace as well. Like, you know,
dang.
The equipment manager toss that thing.
That man's just trying to make a living.
Oh man. Given like the 80s and then like Todd Haley years and all that, we're going to need like triple digits.
True.
Yeah.
Uniform.
Do we even have 53 numbers to field a roster?
Yeah,
at that
probably
point?
Not. Like, probably yeah. not. Probably
I
not.
Need to rethink that.
Yeah. What number was Sabby Piscatelli? What number was that? I don't know.
Oh, I couldn't remember. I couldn't tell you.
All right. If you I could, that would be either. Amazing.
By I the way. Can't remember either.
Yeah. All right. Look, let's get week 13 at Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. Little shocked that Green Bay is getting some real prime time here post Rodgers trade. I'm assuming Jordan Love's mom is going to have slightly better seats,
hopefully,
for that game than she had back in Arrowhead. I mean, are they just wanting to see Mahomes trounce an opponent, or am I overlooking the Packers?
I don't think you're overlooking the Packers. I mean, I was surprised that they gave Jordan Love a contract extension already. I was like, what the heck are you guys doing? But I don't know, Charles. I have like no opinion about the Green Bay Packers right now.
I don't either. This is a perfect candidate to get flexed out of that spot, though. I mean,
yeah.
The only allure I see in this matchup right now, and I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about the Packers, but the only allure I see in this is that it's a late season December game at Lambeau, and they can is this about the stadium more than the team? I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe that gets flexed out. Who knows? I'm not worried about that matchup.
Well, I mean, that's really all we need to say about that. Then week 16, I got opinions here. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Las Vegas Raiders coming to Arrowhead on Christmas Day on a Monday at noon. So Santa, put aside your cookies and milk, stop delivering some presents. Well, I guess by then it's too late anyway, but you know, whatever. What do we think of a Monday Christmas noon game at Arrowhead, and then it's the Raiders? Does that add or take away anything?
All I'm imagining is some of these diehard season ticket holders, like, all right, kids, well, we're having Christmas morning at 3 a.m. because I got to get to the tailgate. You got to think the parking lot's going to open up at 8 a.m. for that game.
There's going to be Christmas trees in the parking lot and presents under them for that game.
Please, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's what will happen. That could be an incredible, incredible matchup if the Raiders are competitive somehow. But I haven't quite processed through that one mentally and emotionally yet. Matt, I want to hear what you have to say about it. It sounds like you got some strong takes on this one.
Well, I mean, on the Raiders, I don't. I mean, if your offseason plan is to flip Derek Carr for Jimmy G, I've got nothing else to pay attention to on your team. I mean. at that point, I know that you're not to be taken seriously, and it's just it's a matter of time until the hourglass sand runs out on your tenure, and we'll meet two new schlubs in charge of the Raiders in a year or two. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I think the NFL is looking at Christmas Day, going, well, why are we letting the NBA eat all the headlines, enjoy banner ratings, and milk all the money? Well, let's milk this cow too. They can, and they will. And because we will watch it, everyone will clamor for those spots. But, maybe I shouldn't worry about this. Maybe this is getting too morose, and we watch football to escape, not talk about these things. But I'm thinking of all the concession workers who have to go drive to the stadium, get there, get ready in the winter on Christmas Day. I'm thinking of all the people who have to make productions happen, whatever. You know what, man? You could have a game at a normal day at a normal time, and instead you got to put it in the middle of Christmas Day and change a lot for a lot of families. And it could be a fun game. Maybe some families will make fun memories out of it in some way, and you hope they will. But yeah, just overall, I just kind of thought that's kind of a crappy thing to do personally for people. And I don't know if I'm alone in that, but that was my thought.
No, I agree. I think that's, sometimes talking about football and thinking about football, you lose track of empathy. And I think that's a very real human point to make. And I mean, that's unfortunately a byproduct of how the NFL operates now. Like, started the show off talking about how we're just entrenched in all of this on a Thursday in May.
Yeah.
And then, on Christmas Day, we're going to be the exact same way, when we should be focused on family and all this other wonderful stuff that you should focus around the holidays. So we're going to, I'm going to be cussing at my TV because we haven't, because we let Jimmy G throw for like 200 yards. Like, this guy's a trash rat. Why are we letting him do anything right now? And I'm just not going to have, the Christmas spirit if we play bad.
Yeah.
If we kill him, then I'll be fine. But
maybe that's why you ask for a TV in advance, knowing the current one you have will then be extra, so you could like punish it if you need to punish it.
Exactly. Yeah, just have a spare.
Yeah, I get it. KCDC comments. He says, double time for those guys, right? What better place to be making two times? I hope so. I hope Clark Hunt or Mark Donovan or someone in charge says, look, I don't know what protocols are. I don't know what the people are typically going to give you. But look, let me just say, I'll figure out a way. to take care of every ticket taker, concessions worker, usher, parking attendant, whatever, on that day to make sure it's worth being at Arrowhead on Christmas. That I hope someone does that for their
season. I agree. I very much agree. And it'll be a great PR moment for the Chiefs, I imagine. You know, them going and taking care of those workers, but then also making it a memorable Christmas experience outside of a football experience for the fans that are in attendance. It could be a great moment that a lot of people look back on fondly in Kansas City.
It could be.
Very true.
I hope it is, at least.
There's one more game that we know of at this point. And folks, if you're still listening, just know the NFL schedule reveal will be coming in a couple hours. Some people say it's already out there. Who knows? But we're at least we're commenting on what we know or believe firmly that we can know at this point. Yeah. As we march through our schedule reveal here. And that is, look, Cincinnati Bengals. This was one of the earliest games that we knew about. Cincinnati Bengals, week 17, New Year's Eve, 3:25. Sunday kickoff at Arrowhead. The Chiefs announced this early. This is probably the game on the schedule. Earlier we were talking about the Eagles, where we're like, oh, but maybe their schedule. Well, I mean, but there's no reducing the Bengals.
Right.
We know the Bengals. What do we think of getting the Bengals with only 2 weeks left of the whole regular season?
I'm torn about it, man. Like there's a lot of different, that's a lot of games before they actually see the Bengals. And I don't know if I like that. I would like it to be a mid-season matchup where both teams are at full strength. And who knows, either one of these teams could already be resting starters in week 17, depending on how the playoff seeding is stacking up. I just don't know, Charles. It's bittersweet.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think I like it more than most, because I think that it prevents the Chiefs from, say they are in a position where they're, you know, going to finish 14-3, 15-2, something like that. I mean, that's obviously projecting a lot because it's a tough schedule, and, you know, 11-6 could win the division this year. You never know. But, you know, if they're that top tier of the AFC and you have a couple of powder puffs the last 3 weeks of the season, then when you get to the playoffs, the likelihood that you get punched in the mouth a little bit by whoever you're playing is that much higher. So yeah, having that like warm up to go into the playoffs again, not a warm up, but I mean a real, like, those are like live rounds going into the playoffs with Cincinnati in week 17. I think it keeps them sharp late in the season. But yeah, man, it sucks. Cause I mean, you're going to play Cincinnati more than likely in week 17, and then probably within the next 3 weeks, play them again. And it's like, man, that fresh of a look. I mean, we saw it a couple of years ago when we played him in week 17 in Cincy and then in the AFC Championship. I don't love it, but I do think it's a good opportunity just playing devil's advocate to keep the team sharp late in the season going into the playoffs and hopefully, you know, have them on their A game to make another run at what I think we all hope to be another Super Bowl championship. So
that would have been the best opening day matchup. I think we can we can all agree there. Yeah, that would have been the opening day game.
Yeah.
There was no way they were going to do that, though. They weren't going to put that on the opening night, because everyone in the country is going to watch opening night either way.
Right. So right.
I am surprised that we're not playing the Bengals in like week five, like a mid season must watch lightning rod, you know, kind of thing. Mm. It'll be fun to see Orlando Brown and how he handles the Chiefs defensive line and what Spags dials up for, you know, for him. Like, there are some plot lines here that I like. Mm-hmm. Overall, to me, look, there's one game after this. Remember, it's week 18 is the full season. So we'll probably see, I don't know, maybe the Broncos. I'm assuming maybe we'll close the season against Broncos. It's possible that you know, you said maybe they're resting their starters. That's possible. It's also possible that both of these teams are tied or within a game and are looking the edge and are going to have to go all out, knowing in 2 weeks, one of us gets to go home and just put our feet up while the other one slogs through hoping to avoid injuries in the opening round of the playoffs. Could be tough. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see that one there. Also, Ronald Rodrigo mentioned something I was thinking too. AFC North is tougher for them. Dude, Lamar back with more weapons. The Steelers are going to be tougher. Pickett's second year. I like some of the things they've done personnel wise. The Browns, I know I'm going to be laughed out of here, but because he didn't look that great last year. But I mean, when he's good, Deshaun Watson's a top five NFL quarterback.
100%.
You can hate him personally. You can say what you want. I would agree with all that. But when he's good, and I know he's been away, but you know, we all know it comes down to quarterback play, and Deshaun Watson is a tremendous quarterback when he's good. The AFC North, who even comes out of that? That could be in play here, you know, when we're talking about the Bengals.
Yeah, it certainly could be. And there is a real possibility the Chiefs will just go play the Week 18 game and then turn around and face the Bengals, you know, right again. So there's that to think about as well, Matt.
Yeah. Well, we'll have the rest of the schedule reveal a little bit later on tonight. We'll have all kinds of things coming up on site at arrowheadaddict.com. While we have you guys here, we've gone way over an hour already.
Yeah, we have.
But I just want to ask you one more question. We had a few more kind of on our show sheet, if you will. But one of the things that won't go away personnel-wise, once the dust settles on the schedule, Chris Jones has said, I'm not shutting up until Brett Veach signs my guy, Frank Clark, again, right? So if Twitter was a drum, he's banging it, and he says, I'm not quitting banging this drum until I get the shark back next to me. I'm looking at the roster going, is there room? I'm looking at the cap going, is there money? I'm looking at the team going, is there interest? What do you think of a guy with that much moxie putting that out there like that? And do you think the Chiefs make him happy?
It depends on where they're at in the contract negotiations, honestly. Like if the Chiefs are looking for any sort of edge in wanting to retain Chris Jones, or Chris Jones wanting to stay in Kansas City, excuse me, I think that they will sign Clark, because there is a – we've gotten so accustomed to the – you know, we had Dunlap. We had – wow, why am I blanking on his name? Melvin Ingram. We had Okafor before him. Like, there's always kind of been this veteran edge rusher presence. And if it was anything else, we would be calling that a Spags preference, like in his scheme. I don't know if it is, but it could be. So I think that there is a spot for Frank Clark, especially you're looking at, you know, BJ Thompson is another toolsy. That's a baseball term, but another toolsy edge rusher. Mm-hmm. You know, does that mean that they're out on Kando and Herring after these years? I think it could be. And that does open up some roster spots. And if BJ Thompson doesn't perform well, then they're going right back to, hey, we need another edge rusher to round out this rotation.
Yeah. Charles.
Yeah. I think it's an annual tradition now of what veteran edge guy are we going to bring back, and who better than Frank Clark? I mean, there's probably guys that have better ability, but as far as that locker room goes, and the team and the people inside of that, with the unity that goes into being a sports team in any sport, the camaraderie and the bond those guys have, Frank Clark has been a huge part of that for the last 5 years or four years or however long he's back, 4 or 5 years. But I mean, he's one of those driving forces on the defensive side of the ball, just keeping that team together. And obviously, based on moves in the past, that hasn't always been something that the team necessarily prioritizes, because, you know, like, when they let Justin Houston and Eric Berry walk, I think a lot of fans were like, what the hell? But, you know, it's all about organizational health for the front office. And if you can get Frank Clark back at an affordable deal, and if Chris Jones wants him that bad, I think someone said in the comments, Jones cough up $5 million on his deal, done. If Chris Jones wants to have some concessions in his pay for this year and open up some space for Frank Clark to come back in, bring him back, but it's got to make sense financially.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I'm a big advocate of bringing Frank back. I'm done with Kando. I'm done with Herring. We tried it. We did it. Whatever. You got to keep Thompson on the roster. He's a fifth round pick. You added Anudike Uzomah in the first round. The Chiefs made two draft picks. You got to keep him, of course, whatever. You have Mike Dana, who's, I think, is way underrated. Mm-hmm. You have Charles O'Minihue, and then you have George Karloftis, who we're all anxious to see what he's going to do in his second year. If you add Frank Clark to that mix, O'Minihue, Dana, FAU, and then Karloftis, if you add Frank Clark as a fifth rusher there, I think that's a top 5 to 10 pass rushing rotation in the NFL. Would you buy or sell that?
I would buy that. That's a top five just defensive end rotation. Like, that's not even taking
into...
Without Chris.
Yeah,
without Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Frank Clark's your fifth guy, and he was a starter last year. So, yeah, I mean, that makes you pretty formidable in my head.
Love it. Love it. Well, hopefully it happens. We got Chris Jones beating the drum. I'll beat the drum. Although Clark did tell me he doesn't care if I beat a drum. Clark Hunt told me that one time. So he's like, feel free to beat a drum. I don't care. So whatever. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Gracie, by the way, though, told me, keep beating the drum. I do care. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's all that matters.
That's really all that matters. Yeah.
Yeah. She really pulls all the strings, I think.
I think she does.
That'd be the best ESPN 30 for 30 ever. the real mind behind the Kansas City Chiefs.
I love it. Hey, let me get one numerical prediction from you before we go. I know we don't know the full schedule yet, or at least it's not official, but we know the opponents. Either of you care to float a initial one loss record from this regular season?
You can take this first, Charles. You got this.
I hate doing this, man, because I'm so superstitious. I feel like if I go like 14-3, I'm going to jinx them. I think it's maybe a touch of a step back this year, but I still think a 13-4 feels right to me.
13-4. That's good.
Well, I guess I'm going to be the pessimistic one and say 12-5.
It's so funny that that's pessimistic, right?
I know, right?
We're talking about 12-5 team.
12-5 was on the tip of my tongue, but then I kind of veered back towards being more bright and cheery. So,
yeah, I don't know. There's just, I hate to say it, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I do find it hard to write off the Broncos completely.
I agree.
With Sean Payton.
Whoa.
I know. Matt, don't dwell on this.
Okay.
This doesn't change anything between us.
I'm backing off.
Matt, what's your prediction, though?
I would go 14-3, maybe even 15-2. I'll stay at 14-3. I think we lose to Buffalo. I think there's a desperation there. They're going to lose some game. Like, I don't know that we're going 17-0. And so I think there's a desperation. Buffalo is either like in or done to me. I mean, they're like, like you got this window and Von Miller's back. I could see us losing a close one to Buffalo. I think we go 1-1 with the Chargers. Because both of those games were 3-point games last year. And the Chargers had crazy injuries. I just think they always play us tough. I could see that split. And then I think just by math, you have to lose one more, whether that's whoever, it doesn't matter. I'm saying there's a third floating loss in there somewhere.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There's going to be that Colts type loss.
Yeah.
Or just like, what the hell just happened? Yeah. Bears are perfect candidate for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin Fields, maybe he'll, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe, Justin Fields has a career. Justin Fields has a career game against the defending Super Bowl champs. I mean,
a story.
That adds up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
So I could see it, but who knows? Yeah. We're all, well, we've got a good range here. I trust it. Yeah. It feels good.
Everyone will say any given Sunday until you do a record prediction. I'll say that.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, let me say this on behalf of all of us here at Arrowhead Addict. One of our guests, Jacob Millam, follow Jacob at Arrowhead Addict, by the way, but also on Twitter at Jacob Millam KC, and our buddy Charles Robinson, also a contributor, follow him at Arrowhead Addict. He just had a new baby, so he's writing a little bit less these days.
Yeah.
And how much sleep are you getting, by the way?
You know, more than I expected, but we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts. Yeah, he's been pretty good, but I know it's not going to last forever. So, we're getting a solid, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours a night. So, boy. I mean, it's not sometimes good. Six. So it's not that bad.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. 6 hours of sleep, man.
He's very chill. He's unlike me. He's very much like his mother. He's very chill. So
love it. He's our friend Charles Robinson. Make sure you're following Charles on Twitter at crob5769. And for all of us here, for our producer Richard, we just thank you guys so much for listening. You've been listening to Arrowhead Addict Podcast. And anyone have any great like sign-off lines? Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
There it is. I'll see you guys. Like it. Thanks. We'll be right back.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.